Unease over North Korea is just one of the reasons the United States is expanding its military presence in the Pacific. The U.S. is rebuilding bases on the tiny Pacific island of Guam. The military presence there grew in the Cold War, then shrank again. Now it's growing as a way to protect Taiwan and South Korea and to keep a watchful eye on China. NPR Pentagon correspondent John Hendren traveled to an outpost of American power more than 10,000 miles from Washington.
Like all residents of Guam, Tony Artero Sablon is inured to the sounds of military aircraft that drown out the street noise outside his urban home. He's a man of Polynesian proportions and a Micronesian pedigree, a generous-sized man in a land where big means something. His family has also been generous to the U.S. military. The pristine coastline on this Pacific island's north side that is now occupied by Anderson Air Force Base once belonged to his mother's family. But while he's a real estate investor who would probably benefit from a growing U.S. buildup on Guam, Sablon says enough is enough. Guam is too small to accommodate more troops, ships, and planes without losing its identity.
The United States sees Guam as a military bastion, and it does not really care for the people who owns the island of Guam. But to me, this is home, and I got no other place. We are being mesmerized with the idea, hey, he's going to bring job. Does more means better? Do we want to be an overpopulated little island in the Pacific?
Guam has had a colonial complex ever since Spanish sailor Ferdinand Magellan arrived in 1521. He immediately burned down a village and killed several native Chamorros who'd stolen his skiff. Magellan's arrival later brought colonization by Spain, which lost Guam to the U.S. in the Spanish-American War in 1898. The Americans lost it to the Japanese in World War II and won it back in one of the bloodiest battles of the Pacific War. The U.S. military now owns about a third of the island. Shaped like a footprint, the isle is just 30 miles long and 5 miles wide at the instep, but it's been too well placed for trade and defense for the superpowers of each era to ignore it. It's far closer to China, Japan, and Vietnam than the U.S. mainland, and it's just 1,700 miles to Taiwan, which the United States is committed to defending from mainland China. Lieutenant General David Deptula, the Pacific Command's number 2 Air Force official, says those advantages hold true today.
Guam has an attraction principally because it is the westernmost U.S. territory, and it allows us to provide basing from which to more quickly react in times of need.
The new military buildup on Guam is already bringing with it an economic boom. The local government's annual budget is $435 million. The cost of building one road alone, which the U.S. military plans to link the Air Force and naval bases here, is $1 billion. Real estate has gone from a buyer's market to a seller's market in the past 3 months. That's why the buildup is supported by the vast majority of island residents. They've endured a decade-long economic slump caused by a perfect storm of base closures, the Tokyo stock market crash, and the Asian currency crisis. Guam lives on tourism, and 80% of its tourists come from Japan. Another 10% come from places like Korea and China. The Pacific Command's current plan is to spend $10 billion, and that's probably just a start.
After being in a slum for such a long time, it's a welcome news to the community. It's going to affect everybody all the way down to the youngest child and even the future generations to come.
Local legislator Judy Wonpat supports the buildup, even though she has some reservations. She's formed a women's group on the island that seeks to bridge the gap between locals and the military. They want to keep Chamorro men from looking for American troops to beat up, as they have in the past. And they want to curb an expected growth in prostitution, strip clubs, and massage parlors, where young women stand outside to wave in passers-by on the posh beachside tourist strip of Tumon.
We see that there'll be more bars. Massage parlors will be coming up as well. So those are some of the things that's not going to be welcome.
Another issue is an influx of foreign workers. Local officials say Guam has maybe 10% of the labor it needs for base improvements. That means it will have to import workers. Since Japan is helping to fund the cost of moving 8,000 Marines from Okinawa to Guam, Japan is already pushing for its firms to be among the contractors. The changes are visible on Anderson Air Force Base. B-2 bombers now sit in a new $32 million hangar as part of a regular rotation of bombers on Guam. The Pacific Command's plan to build up Guam isn't finished, but it includes bringing in Global Hawk surveillance planes and tankers. Colonel Mike Bora, who commands the base's 36th Air Wing, says with dependents and civilian workers, that's likely to bring 20 to 30,000 people to an island of 150,000.
We are no longer the Sleepy Hollow base of yesteryear. This base has been on an up-and-down cycle for years, and we're on a big-time up cycle.
Admiral Bill Fallon is the commander of the U.S. Pacific Command at Camp Smith near Honolulu. He says the current buildup won't bring Guam back to the 200,000 or so troops it had during the height of World War II.
My vision for Guam is not to sink the island under the weight of Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marine personnel, or with new infrastructure. But the idea would be to update the infrastructure and build what we need to be able to accommodate forces that we might have to base through Guam.
Guam, along with Hawaii, also wants a new aircraft carrier battle group. That would bring tens of thousands more sailors and millions in ship repairs. But Navy officials say that's unlikely to happen. Nevertheless, Chamorros complain that they're already a minority in their own land. The island's 150,000 residents are dwarfed in size by the million tourists who visit each year. And here, unlike on most Pacific islands, the mix of indigenous language and Spanish, known as Chamorro, has nearly vanished.
The challenge on Guam has always been it's had an identity crisis.
Floyd Takeuchi is publisher of Pacific Magazine in Honolulu.
It's never quite sure if it's part of San Diego, where many Chamorros live, or it's the fifth county of Hawaii, or it's part of Okinawa, because they get so many Japanese tourists. It's made it difficult to get a sense of what Guam is and what role they play in the Pacific.
Some locals want to change that by reviving the Chamorro language and culture here. And some, like Ciblon, hope to stop the military buildup that's already ongoing, even though they know their chances are slim. Despite the aircraft noise, most residents remain surprisingly pro-American. Their license plates say Guam, USA. Tourism brochures boast that because Guam lies across the international dateline, it is where America's day begins. John Hendren, NPR News. ¶¶